Willkommen bei Marketer Talk, dem Podcast der Marketingbörse. Hier erwarten euch spannende Gesprächsrunden und Interviews mit Experten aus der Marketingszene.
We are in London at the Customer Experience Conference Signal. And I have here Peter Bell. He is Vice President Marketing EMEA at Twilio.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
First of all, Twilio, for our German listeners, is not an SMS company. Just tell them, what is Twilio from your words?
From my words, Twilio provides the infrastructure that enables our customers to deliver amazing customer experiences. That's the vision. That's the ambition. Now, we're well known for SMS. If you get an authentication code today, there's a fair chance that we facilitated the delivery of it. But that's where we've come from rather than where we're going. So we actually provide marketing teams with access to global infrastructure for voice messaging. And by messaging, I mean the more modern WhatsApp and RCS, which communication services, and SMS, as well as voice and email.
And we will come back to outbound messaging, but yep. We will start with inbound messaging because it was you who put the term customer experience.
Yes.
Customer experience in the strictest sense means not how nice the website is, but it means what happens if I want to get into contact with a company.
Yeah.
And apparently you have some offers in this direction because that's where the customer journey yeah. begins.
And more specifically, when you get in touch with me, you just want your problem addressed or your question answered or the transaction completed, whatever it might be. But you just simply want that done in a timely, painless way. And that's what we all want with consumers. So for us, let's take voice as an example. If most companies, their call centers are overwhelmed with the number of people trying to call in. It's just uneconomic to staff and hire. And you get that infamous message. We are experiencing exceptionally high call volumes today. And we all know it's not true. And, you know, this isn't about replacing the call center. This is about augmenting call center. So a big part of offering in voice is to enable AI-driven conversations, which can be escalated through a human, depending on how the call goes, or it could be resolved by the AI agent. And the AI agent is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and it can speak as many languages as you care to teach it. So if I've got something simple like, it could be a password reset, it could be a balancing query, it could you cancel a direct debit? Those tasks are very simple for AI. They're quite low risk. The use case is simple. It's transactional. If the conversation becomes more complex, then you can immediately escalate to the human. And those are the scenarios that we're currently building with customers that you saw earlier today.
First question. If I call the company, is it advisable to say, okay, I'm the bots, not I'm a human, but to be honest and tell them that they are speaking with a computer?
Yes, 100%. And I'd say we set the example as a company ourselves. So around 95, so on our website, there are forms and we get tens of thousands of these forms submitted. It could be talk to sales. It could be asked for support, some variation. And 95% of those today are, first of all, triaged by an AI agent. That isn't a chatbot. You fill the form in, and then you'll get an email back. And we're 100% transparent that you are, at this point in the conversation, you're dealing with an AI agent. And I would encourage everyone, you know, to take that type of approach because we've got to build trust. And at the end of the day, actually, some situations we heard it this morning. We have a partner called DocPlayer, who they provide software for doctors to enable appointment booking and all those sorts of things. And what they've seen is there are some instances where people are more comfortable having the conversation with a computer than a person, because maybe it's sensitive, maybe it's some sort of condition they don't feel comfortable about talking with a human who's a stranger. And actually, the computer has the benefits. But either way, it's just about getting the question answered.
Peter, we only have 30 minutes to talk.
I'm sorry.
And when you always answer my question this long, we will stay here. It's very interesting, and we stay here the whole night. So I call the company, and they tell me, okay, do you want to speak to a computer, or do you want to be connected to a real agent, which could possibly take some time? What do people answer? 10, 90, 90, 10, 50, 50.
I don't have a statistic on it. What do you think?
What's your guess?
If I can get my problem solved in the moment, I would say the majority of people, let's say 80-20, to take the simple rule, will favor just getting the problem resolved than waiting to speak to a human.
We need the reputation as a company, as a brand. We need to build up the reputation that we have an AI agent which can really talk. And Doc Planner is a good example of an AI agent who is really good. So people will learn and they love it.
And if I want an appointment with my doctor and I can do it without sitting in a call queue, without then negotiating with a receptionist, and I can do it, well, you know, in under a minute, I'll take under a minute.
Do you know which are the questions where you fail, where you say, okay, the AI, it's too difficult. The problem is really too difficult. Or can you recognize within the call, I think I might connect you with a human operator?
I think there are two situations. One is where the conversation simply becomes too complex and it broadens.
That's it.
And there the risk of hallucination comes in because you're going beyond the boundaries. And I would then immediately have it escalate to a human.
And you can recognize this from the content of
you
the
can build, yeah, from the... The second is if the tone of the conversation is becoming negative, that's the second scenario where I'd want to escalate to a human.
Do you also work with companies who go to call centers and you help them to get more out of a call? That means, how do you call this? The feeling. If the mood goes down, so the operator, the telephone agent, the call center agents get some background or get some additional information or get some information from the database.
We do that through conversational intelligence.
Hmm.
We've done it for several years on voice specifically. And
I'm talking about voice and about enabling the call center agents,
yeah,
which are then more capable.
So there's two things that happen. One is what happens in the call, and then the second is what happens after the call.
Hmm.
Or actually what happened in the call before. So we have customers who are using our voice products, and they are after every call there will be sentiment analysis, and when I next call in, I can see I've got all of the information. The previous call was negative and these were the keywords in that call. So as an agent, I start the conversation a different way. I understand you're frustrated last time we called. How are things now? Versus, are you having a good day? No.
Okay. I love that. Because I think that technology can enable humans. It doesn't replace humans. We need humans, but we have to enable humans with technology.
100% agree.
And now we switch to our favorite subject, which is not the SMS or some better SMS, but email.
Yes.
Email is cheap. Email is good. And Twilio got SendGrid.
Yes.
And that was a very good idea. It needed that. And now goes into omnichannel outbound marketing.
Yep. It does. So that's we have a term you may not have heard, but we refer to all of these channels as our super network. And within the super network, we have a global email infrastructure, SendGrid, voice, and then messaging. So we think about it as a super network. And then the state of the art for us and what we're, the engineering work we're doing now is to make that make it easier to do the omnichannel marketing. The key thing there is the work that we're doing this segment to use to advance the technology in segment to give context. And context is the secret sauce for us. Because if, let's say it's just I never respond on text, but I always respond on email. Or I got cut off on the phone call and then I email in and the email knows that I got cut off on the phone call and can pick the conversation up. Now, that's a great customer experience. What's not great is restarting the conversation every time you move channel.
So the thing is, I need the database. I need the data on every customer, where he is in the customer journey, what information from which channels we have. And this building this database is the main thing, in fact.
Yes. And it's really around building that first-party database of information which contains my consent to certain communication channels. You'll then have all the usual GDPR things in terms of how that's used, where it can be used, etc. But on that profile, we'll then have access to how the call went, my communication preferences, and what the last interaction was, so I can move across or between channels.
Let's suppose I do have a CDP I simply love, and there is a whole thing, and I do have a marketing system, an email messaging system, a newsletter system, and they cooperate, and it works. So, but I want to go to other channels. Okay, I have connections to other channels, but this is your strength, okay?
Yeah.
How do you connect to the existing systems, and how do you integrate into my existing systems until you convince me to skip those, which is your wish, of course. But you know, it's right now AI comes and we are in this phase where there's a lot of change happening.
Yeah. So this is where I throw the technology term composable into the conversation. And what do I mean by that? So, look, I'll come back to the CDP one in a second because that creates a more nuanced conversation. But we're not going to replace your CRM system, your finance system, your stock control, or any of these line of business systems. We've probably already invested in LLMs as well as you're experimenting with AI. Our working premises, you will plug those into the Twilio platform. And we build it with that presumption. What we're providing is all of both the access to the channels for delivery, but all of the intelligence out of those channels, which give you context. So you may have an item in stock, but if you don't know how the conversation was going, it can go wrong quite quickly.
I think that is the skill.
Yes.
To recognize the environment, to have all the information about a customer, what is going on right now, and to then think about giving single messages which fit.
Yes, exactly that. Now, the question about the CDP becomes more complex. We are building around our own CDP right now. The question does come up, well, would you support third-party CDPs? And I think it's a question for us to consider. Right now, we just want to build... We are going to build the platform out first, and then we've got to look at future iterations. But of course, look, fundamentally, the Twilio platform is both open and it's API first. So there's, you know, everything is possible in that scenario. But the value in bringing these pieces together is our customers can focus on the value-added engineering as opposed to infrastructure. You know, your customers will, you heard ING Bank talk earlier, their customers don't value infrastructure. They do value a great app.
Yeah.
And if your engineers are constantly being taken away from building the great app, into maintaining and building infrastructure, things move slow.
How good are you in vorhersagen, in predicting the next best action? Because we are talking about finance and finance and insurance. It's very important to know which is the next best action for this special customer.
So we see customers do this in two ways. Many of our customers have data lakes, data warehouses. They may well be doing a lot of computational work there, where they'll have coefficients which are then turned into traits, next best action. And they can do that, and we have customers who do that today as things stand. Or we provide within a segment the predictive traits as functionality within it. You can mix and match or do one or the other. But Nestlé, that you heard talk earlier, they do all of theirs in their data layer.
Yeah. And then to choose the right channel, I mean, this is also an obstacle, which is for which customer, not only talking about omni-channel everywhere. Yeah. No, it's a special, on a special conditions, a special channel, which has to be chosen.
And I think that's where, for marketers, Twilio comes into its own. Because, one, we make it much easier to access these different channels. Too often, organizations are very heavy on email and not much else. And secondly, we're providing the intelligence out of these channels. Let's say I've been communicating with you over email, but actually I find you respond to a call more often. We should switch to that conversation channel. And you may actually also, we've got to respect your legal preferences as well.
Of course. I mean, this has to be. RCS is not known to everybody, and there is a lot of things coming with RCS. Just tell us a little bit about
First thing from marketer, I'd say, if you don't know anything about RCS, go learn about it. Genuinely.
Yeah.
When did we last have a consumer marketing channel, a brand new consumer, modern consumer marketing channel open up? I mean, in my career.
A new? I mean, it's SMS enhanced.
It is.
It's not new.
But it's not recognizable. It's in the sense of it's on your phone, like SMS is. Mm. But after that, it's completely different. So,
of course, after that, it's different.
It's a messaging. It's messaging, but it's. Look, carousel. As a marketer, if you want to visualize it, you know, if you think about the Instagram e-commerce experience, that's ostensibly what RCS brings to every handset, directly on the phone. So a carousel where you can position your product, buttons. So yeah, click here to buy, confirm appointment, whatever it may be. Branded sending, so it is you that is purporting to be this brand. You know, all sorts of custom templates. Or you can get into conversational scenarios where it might be a customer, it might be a support call. Maybe you're trying to return something. It's just really exciting.
It's paradise. Absolutely. But the problem with paradise is you have to get into it. That means, when do we have 100% of all mobile phone users in Germany with Telekom, with Vodafone, with Apple, and with iPhone and Android? When will we have that? It still takes some time.
Let me check, but coverage is actually excellent now. It's improved hugely in the last 12 months. The big issue was that until October of last year, Apple didn't support RCS. Now, for Germany, Germany and the UK are kind of similar, where Apple have approximately 45 to 50% handset share. So it's irrelevant without that support. In October of last year, Apple started supporting it. And then the focus shifted to the carriers. Are they supporting on both handsets? We can get the data for you on Germany. That's no problem. I don't have it in my head, so I won't make it up.
Yeah, so, we are in the middle of a journey, but we are not yet at 100%. Yeah. So it still takes some time. But of course, marketers have to prepare their system to Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
what will work, what won't.
It's like the shift from, I mean, you remember these old people, old men are talking about old times when you have the text emails and HTML. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we switched from text to HTML.
All that rich media.
Yeah.
And then you have to get work on mobile and it's the same thing. So it's, but it's the fact that it's on your handset, once the carrier rollout is complete, which, as I say, it's much better than it was even 6 months ago. The only carrier in the UK still to roll out is Vodafone on Apple. Otherwise, it's complete. But we'll get you the date of a German.
Omnichannel marketing. That means that I can connect with my, if I have the permission, of course, I connect with different channels. What are, for example, Chelsea, you have a nice example of a football club communicating with his fans. What are your experience with channels? Which channel is most, is best for which kind of situation?
Good question. And this really is more born of personal experience than statistically. Yeah. But I'd say B2B marketing is almost exclusively email. We make very little use of other channels. Consumer marketing, lots of text, but I'm increasingly seeing specifically WhatsApp. Lots of brands are now appearing on WhatsApp for Business. Meta have been pushing that solidly in Europe for at least 18 months. And we have full support for that, as you heard earlier today. So brands are starting to show up there. So I really see two things. I see in consumer marketing, I see email used well and used badly, over communication being the biggest challenge. And I see SMS being used for short-term promotions, very short-term promotions. So time limited, discounts this weekend, that type of things. I see very little use of voice, but voice is coming back. People want to talk. It turns out people do want to talk, even if it's to an AI agent.
Old people want to talk.
Young people
want to chat. When will young people relearn that it's a nice thing to talk?
ChatGPT is rewiring their brains. They'll be talking like we do.
Peter, that was fantastic, and it was very nice talking to you. Is there anything to add from your side?
No, look.
I think we did everything.
I think we have covered everything. I think I'd say one last thing. I'm a career marketer, and there's a lot of things, particularly around the area of omnichannel, that I've aspired to do, but it was too hard. I finally feel like this is coming into my reach, and I'll be able to achieve some of those aspirations. And that's really exciting as a marketer. So,
thank you.
Das war's auch schon mit der heutigen Episode. Wir hoffen natürlich, dass sie euch gefallen hat und würden uns sehr gerne über eine Bewertung freuen. Wenn ihr keine Folgen verpassen wollt, abonniert gerne den Marketer Talk der Marketingbörse. In diesem Sinne, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.